Project Second Contact, and Protocols. Hello again. Thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. I am Marie. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. For those of you who don't know, the so-called Project First Contact was a worldwide Galactic Federation attempt to assess, study, and even initiate contact between their interstellar members, who belong to countless species, and humankind, the general public. Even though some species didn't have Lyrian genetics, such as the Irma, most of the interstellar species who participated in Project First Contact belong to the Lyrian family, who are basically more humans, of the kind that if dressed accordingly could pass off as anyone in a bus stop, down on the surface of planet Earth. As I am always saying and even yelling out as it is so important, there are more humans just like you outside in space, far more, and they dwell among the stars where all humankind should be. The main objective behind Project First Contact was to assess and study how prepared the general public was to accept and sustain contact with people and beings not from Earth. The Galactic Federation wanted to see if Earth humans were prepared for total extraterrestrial disclosure. Between the years 2009 and 2017, although the exact dates are somewhat dubious, the Galactic Federation flooded the internet and social media with thousands and thousands of poorly prepared extraterrestrial people who would start a conversation with anyone and anywhere, while openly stating that they were talking to an extraterrestrial. Project First Contact was a monumental failure. It concluded that Earth humans were most definitely not ready for extraterrestrial contact, and it also caused innumerable problems of all kinds. Many people were also badly hurt, or even died, during this communication attempt, because of extreme emotional distress, which is one of the causes of the so-called extraterrestrial syndrome disease. Although there is still much controversy about Project First Contact, nowadays, we here strongly suspect that it was designed to fail from the start and was set in motion knowing that it would have disastrous results, most probably to further justify the Galactic Federation's real plans for humanity, which include even harder living conditions, with this justifying even more planetary isolation. This also vindicating the Galactic Federation's widely spread idea, or concept that Earth should be kept in total isolation from the galactic community and reality, leaving Earth humans to believe in their own limited and cabal-controlled cosmology and its weak, dogmatic science that backs it all up. I have a complete video dedicated to why Project First Contact failed, and I will leave a link to it in the boxes at the end of this video. The Second Contact project, which is being prepared to roll out later this year, is not a continuation of Project First Contact. I must be very clear with this, it is not a continuation of the first one, and although I am calling it Second Contact project for lack of a better name, as my peers here haven't even named it officially yet, and it will be very different. Unlike Project First Contact, which was a joint Galactic Federation massive operation, Project Second Contact is a limited unilateral, Taygetan-only, operation. This means that only Taygetan people will be participating, and no other species, culture, or race. Yet this second project is fully authorized by the local Galactic Federation, on the condition that their rules and regulations are respected, as I will detail further below. It is based on what the Taygetans learnt while they were participating in the Galactic Federation's project, and it is an attempt to bring out the good things, and none of the bad ones of the first, and its objectives have nothing to do with the ones of that first one. Project Second Contact Objectives. Primary objective. Highly trained Taygetan operatives are to enter carefully chosen places on social media to seed concepts, ethics, values, and information, belonging to highly evolved interstellar societies and cultures with a holistic political structure. These concepts are to be shared openly, so they can be adopted by like-minded people on Earth, who can then retransmit it all over, and to anyone, concepts which can later be modified and adapted to Earth-human requirements by the countless starseeds already living on Earth. These concepts are to be seeded as inspiration mainly for star seeds, so they can have a stronger frame and fundament, feeling more backed up, while they carry on their own work with their particular interests and high existential values. The active and direct seeding of interstellar concepts is meant to counteract the very strong regressive seeding of highly destructive values and ideas, which are flooding the highly controlled media all over the world, in an attempt to steer the collective unconscious to manifest a more positive future for Earth humankind. Entering Earth with whatever means, technological or natural, incarnating there to seed highly advanced concepts, values and ideas to steer the planet and its collective unconscious towards a more positive timeline has always been the primary job of all star seeds. They do so willingly as their life plan, or even automatically by simply existing on the planet, and while they follow their own interests, as they strongly affect Earth's energetical field and its vibration in a very positive way, simply by being there. What Project Second Contact is attempting to achieve is to have a positive effect similar to having injected into the planet several hundred highly activated starseeds with full memory of who they truly are, without having to pass through the lengthy and time-consuming growth and development process, which any being who incarnates there must endure. As this project can easily be seen or taken as a direct intervention, and overt interference with the natural development of Earth's culture, the Galactic Federation has imposed several rules that must be followed. Anyhow, I state that Tejitans see no such thing as a natural development of humankind on Earth, as it is all super-controlled and super-intervened all the time, being that we strongly see that the regressive forces, whoever they are, have more liberty, more freedom to seed their destructive concepts, information and ideas, than the positive side, which is always facing all kinds of restrictions and unsurmountable challenges. And this can clearly be seen by the insidious presence of all things satanic and apocalyptic, as well as the imposition of countless thousands of harmful ideas, rules, regulations, ethics, and values upon the human population. This is also why the Galactic Federation has been accused of being permissive and of favoring the regressive side, while they always claim it is all in the best interest of the souls who live on Earth, and who desire a strong and difficult, yet very enriching, incarnation there, also claiming that without Earth and its problems, souls would have no other place to experience such a variety of boss-level challenges. After several months of diplomatic pressure over the local Galactic Federation, led by the Tejetan Queen, Alanim I, through the Pleiadian Alcyone Council, they have agreed to permit this new operation to roll out as long as their rules are respected, and those are the ones that follow. Their prime directive must be respected at all times, especially the parts that state that no means or methods of communication, which exceed, or are an improvement over the ones already in existence on Earth, can be used during this project. This means that all communication must be conducted using digital computers of human manufacture, with no link to extraterrestrial-built, quantum holographic machines. At the link boxes at the very end of this video, I will leave a link to my full video on the Prime Directive. In case you are interested, it will be next to the one about Project First Contact. The next rule to be respected is that all Tejetan participants must hide their true identity from the general public, only claiming or stating that they are simply more Earth humans, perhaps only going as far as to claim that they are star seeds. This rule was not entirely imposed only by the local Galactic Federation, as the Tejitans who are planning and coordinating this second contact project have decided that not sharing true stellar identities is the only way to prevent at least most of the mistakes that were committed during Project First Contact. Openly stating that they are extraterrestrials would only open windows for troll attacks, systematic discrediting, and uncensored destructive fanatics, who would only hinder the Tejetan operatives' work and mental health, thus preventing the main objective from being met. So they intend to fully blend in while they do their work. However, it was decided to share this information with all of you, as we think starseeds will feel backed up and accompanied by their star families, and because knowing that such an operation will be conducted also helps elevate starseeds' vibration, and with them, the one of the entire planet. During one of our council meetings, we decided that better results would be achieved if we shared this, other than if we had kept it entirely a secret. Furthermore, as the Galactic Federation is involved, we assume the regressive side knows about all this anyway. Yes, ouch, Galactic Federation. If any Tejetan operatives are discovered by highly intelligent starseeds on Earth, they are to deny their stellar origin, although if human interaction is inevitably developed, all overt communication should be done through highly secured and contained online communities, where one-on-one communication is also heavily discouraged. The total amount of Tejetan operatives who will participate in this project remains unknown, as they must be trained first. My best assessment indicates that there will be between 300 and 400 participants when it is fully rolled out in the latter part of this year. What social media platforms are to be used also remains without being defined at this point, as we are still considering which ones are the best, but safe to say YouTube will be one of them, as well as other video platforms as well, especially those that do not have such strong censorship, although the Galactic Federation will provide plenty of censorship on their own anyway. The inclusion of smaller, more private social media platforms and semi-public communities, blogs, and forums are not discarded. The exact date is also unknown at this point, as the starships housing the Tejetan participants must be equipped with human computers first, which is very time-consuming. All internet connections for this project will be provided by the Galactic Federation itself, which means that their highly efficient censorship filter will also be fully at work. The Tejetan ships and crew involved are the following ones. In the lead role, Starship Alcyone, that is estimated to provide no less than 200 operatives. Then we have the Starship Asterope, who is estimated to provide between 150 and 200 operatives. Last but not least, Starship Talika, in the command and control role, and from where everything will be coordinated and conducted. No other starship will conduct Project Second Contact operations without the direct consent of the crew of Starship Talika. The remaining ships of the Tejetan fleet present here in low Earth orbit, Vigilant Eagle and Saska 1, will remain in their security and maintenance roles, not participating in this project, at least for now. The presence and participation of yet another Tejetan starship is strongly being considered right now, as the brand new, never used before, light cruiser Sardiclea is nearly ready to sail. If she finishes her initial trials satisfactorily, she may arrive here in Earth's orbit before the end of this month, and will provide at least 50 more Project Second Contact active participants. Sardiclea is a Talika class, Batch 2 multiple role ship, roughly only two-thirds the size and length of a full-size Talika class, Batch 1 ship, such as the one I am on right now. She is smaller, but fully capable, and with state-of-the-art materials and systems, which will allow her to withstand the harshest of conditions found in space, being able to safely navigate where other ships cannot. Her construction has concluded after 7 years of hard work. To conclude this video, I want to share with you who are the masterminds behind Project Second Contact and who are coordinating it all. They are no less than Sophia Swaru, also known as Little Yaji, and Queen Alanim I. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love, your friend, Marie Swaru.